Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. It is a beautiful Wednesday, September 28th, 2016, for Bestie. We got a little cloud coverage outside, a little dew on the ground, and trees on the truck. It's really pretty. We've had some rain lately. It's been beautiful. The desert loves rain. So we clap for rain. All right. How are you all doing this morning? We love marijuana, cannabis, weed, whatever you want to call it. We love it, which is why we're here. I'm Belle Starr, and Cannabis Kid is not here today. Yeah, boo, say boo. But enjoy what you're doing today, Mr. Kid, and we'll have you back next week. This will be October. Can you believe it? I can't even believe it. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. We love having you here each and every week. Today, we're just going to go over some news and some articles and some music and maybe some movies. Who knows what happens? It's kind of a, you know, teacher's gone day, field trip almost, when the teachers don't show up. So we get half a teacher day, don't you? Something like that? I don't know. Anyway, welcome to Weekday Wednesday, everybody, and we just love having you here. So what's going on in cannabis news this morning? I was at the park with a neighbor, and we were hanging out with the dogs this morning, and he brought up an article that just came out in the Arizona Daily Star. It says, businesses poised to boom if Prop 205 passes. Now, this interview, I will say, was done with a dispensary owner. So you have one side of the coin here. You have a dispensary owner who is going to get interviewed, and I'll read it. And then you have everybody else. So we always say it's super, super important to get educated. And where best to do that than Tumbleweeds Health Center? We are at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. We're right out on the front road now, literally on the frontage road. We're over by Farmers, cross street from Guadalajara Grill, if you know where that is, or Viscount. I don't even know how to say it, the hotel. Always thought it was Viscount because it looks like discount with a V. People say Viscount. I don't know. It's all fancy. But come on down and see us. Come to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Check it out. There's always different news articles and events and everything going on. And speaking of events, we'll just tell you quickly. We'll go over this again in case you miss it, in case you're just tuning in and you missed something. This weekend, we've got Pride in the Desert. That's right. Saturday, October 1st. It's the 39th annual Pride in the Desert, and we will have a link soon so that you can just click that photo and find out more details. It's at Reed Park. It starts at noon and goes until sunset. Apparently, there's a huge party before on Friday, which is probably why everyone's sleeping in, and the parties start at noon on Saturday. So come on down. It's kid-friendly, and I have my magic track it down here. Wow. Stevie Nicks in the room? Anyway, come down to Reed Park, noon to sunset. Excuse me. Come down to our booth for the Tumbleweeds Health Center booth, and we've got a special little gift surprise for y'all. So come on down, and we'll show you. October 2nd, if you haven't heard about this, this is the Bisbee Cannabis and Health Fair. This is the first annual, and we've been invited to talk to the folks in Bisbee that, and people have come from surrounding areas. We have a lot of patients down there, but we're going to be down there explaining the process of how you get your card. It's super exciting, and that sounds like a super great event. They've got music from Melissa Reeves, Robert Longley, Keith Allen Dennis. It says a day of health, happiness, and healing with educators, advocators, and entertainers. And some of the topics that they're going to cover are cannabis and the law, what's legal and what's not, with and they have a candidate for County Attorney Tom Holtz down there, and they're also featuring Magic Kenny Bang Bang. Not really sure what that sounds like. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I'll go with that. Kids can go with that. We'll go Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Magic Kenny Bang Bang. So join us as we talk about how to get your medical marijuana card. There are a lot of people down in that southern area in Cochise County. Howdy Tombstone and Gooseless Gunslingers. but come on down. And then also there's the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, and that's coming up, and that's October 14th, 15th, and 16th. They're very excited this year. They got the weekend. Woo-woo! That's a great, great, great event. If you have any interest in cannabis, you need to get to this event. It's just spectacular. 60-plus speakers and over 300 exhibitors, and this is fantastic. What they're doing this year, which we really had wished for last year, but they're having one stage, which is awesome. So all the shows are going to be presented on one stage and not all at the same time, which that was the faux pas that happened last year, was that there were so many incredible classes we all wanted to take. So we split up. We're like, okay, you go do this one, you go do this one, and I'll do this one, and then we'll report back. Because they were split up and staggered during the day just to get as many as they had in there. They were awesome. They were so incredible. But this year they went even far and above and got a giant stage for everybody just to present, so that everybody during the festival, the expo, while you're looking at vendors and such, you can actually go and catch part of the show, whatever's happening, whatever lecture, demonstration, education is going on. You can go up there and sit down for a little while and then go back and check out 300 plus exhibitors. It's amazing, and you will need all 3 days to do so. So get down there and check that out as well. But let's read this article. It's from Arizona, and there's a picture of none other than Ari within his outdoor crop, it looks like. My oh my. Yeah, smell-a-thon. Jeez. All right, it says, Director Ari Rubin walks around about 2,000 marijuana plants to be harvested at Desert Bloom Relief Center. Walk into this marijuana grow operation on Tucson's south side, and the first thing you get is not so much a glimpse of the future. It's the smell of the future we may choose. If you've ever tasted or smelled India Pale Ale, you can imagine it. It's like the most pungent hoppy beer you've ever smelled, times two. This remodeled warehouse near the rodeo grounds is where Ari Rubin's Desert Bloom Dispensary grows and produces its marijuana products. It's the first outdoor grow operation in an Arizona metro area, he said. Inside, where employees are trimming buds and cooking up resin products, the hereby odor is strong. Outside, where the first harvest is happening now, you don't smell much. But you see our possible future, about 3/4 of an acre of cannabis, each plant in its own cloth planter. The 2,000 plants will produce about 1,000 pounds, Rubin said. And if we pass Prop 205, the initiative to legalize marijuana, the potential for existing dispensary owners like him is much greater. We stand to be very busy and have a large demand for our products, he said. If it fails, he said, we turn the gas off on the development. If it passes, we look for property nearby. This is a part of the future we're pondering as we consider our votes on Prop 205, the initiative that would allow anyone over 21 to buy marijuana for whatever reason. There could be grow operations in cities, and there may well be bigger grows along I-10 between Tucson and Phoenix, additional marijuana stores wherever cities will allow them. It sounds ominous, but the atmosphere at this grow location is casual. At least a dozen employees were working inside and outside harvesting buds, trimming them, separating out useless leaves with resin, and the main product. Mario Moraga, who was cutting branches off the plants outside, was a bit amazed at the job he'd come into. I grew up right here on the south side, he said. I never thought I'd be doing this. Ruben said, between the dispensary at 8060 East 22nd Street and this cultivation site, the business employs about 50 people, most of them full-time. The starting wage, he says, $12 an hour. As my colleague Fred Araza took photos and I asked questions, none of the employees were bashful or afraid to be named. The idea that this business is normal and nothing to hide seems to have permeated the workplace. In fact, even the main opponent of legalizing marijuana is not emphasizing arguments about the health effects of marijuana, the dangers of children, or that sort of thing. Those arguments are legitimate, I think, but Adam DeGuire, campaign manager for the anti-205 effort, pointed to flaws in the text of the initiative as the main reason to vote against it. One is that the initiative would ban using THC metabolites in your blood as the only reason to charge someone with a DUI. This would make it harder on police to charge people with DUI for driving after consuming cannabis products, since there's not a reliable way to detect how recently a person used marijuana from a blood test. There is reason for this. Also, DeGuire noted, cities and counties can't opt out of having marijuana dispensaries, as they can in Colorado under its legalization scheme. Indeed, I read the entire initiative for the first time this week and can confirm that it would grandfather in all existing dispensaries. Cities could, however, prohibit additional ones. This leads to the broadest complaint about this initiative's wording, that it is so clearly benefits the existing dispensary owners to the detriment of others who might want to enter the business. Not only will they escape any attempts by cities and counties to ban them, but they also are given priority for licenses until 2021 September. If voters pass the initiative, but the state fails to implement it, the existing dispensaries may sell to anyone 21 or over on September 1st, 2018. It's crony capitalism at its finest, DeGuire said. Very clearly, it will give a leg up to those already in the medical marijuana industry. It would, and that's one of the reasons I'm still puzzling over the initiative myself, even though I'm conceptually a supporter of legalization. Ruben acknowledged that the initiative is certainly heavy in favor of the current operators. It's not fair to the other people who would like to be in the industry necessarily, he went on, but those 100 or so organizations stuck their necks out at a time when laws were uncertain and made investments that were risky. All you had to do was look around at this cultivation operation to get to this point. 10-foot walls around the place as required. There are special vacuum ovens to create cannabis concentrates, grow lamps inside, massive air conditioners, and dehumidifiers. The existing growers and sellers deserve some consideration, but then again, they're already doing quite well. Ruben put the business's revenues at about $7.5 million between the growing and retail operations. And our existing medical marijuana scheme doesn't put many obstacles in the way of people who might want to use cannabis for recreational reasons. When I yawned during the tour Tuesday and mentioned a sleepless night, Ruben asked if I had my medical marijuana card yet, then recommended a doctor who could help me get one. Functionally, we've got recreational marijuana already. It's a matter of whether we want to confirm that in law and expand business like this bustling grow operation in the heart of the city. I wish there was a button that said, because I'm sorry, but Mr. Ruben made it sound so easy to just go out and get a dispensary when this all started, and it was freaking ridiculous process. You had to have a whole lot of money in the bank, and you had to go through hoops and loops that most normal businesses don't, and I'm sorry, but it wasn't that easy to just go out and get something like that. Everybody would if they could, and this initiative, we're just reporting the news here, and I'm reporting what we've read and what we've heard about the initiative. If it does legalize, it isn't going to be until the end of 2018 that it doesn't, in fact, get passed for people to actually use. So that's still a couple years from now. And, you know, they say you'll have the right to grow. But there again, we've just discovered the fact that every county or city or part of the state can tell you, can say no. They can ban that right away, which they will. And it does. It gives total precedence to the dispensaries already that are already in operation and making at a minimum $7.5 million in their first couple years. It doesn't give small businesses the opportunity to come in. And the task force that they're creating that bypasses the state health department and everybody else is a little sketchy. And we would love to talk to somebody about this. So call in. We dare you. Call in live. Let's see if we have anybody who's just seething and chomping at the bit yet. Nope. Smiles. They're all smiles. But you can call in. 646-915-8421. We just love to chat about marijuana. And legalization, decriminalization, or however they're going to regulate this and organize this whole cannabis conundrum, it's going to be interesting to see in the next 5 to 10 years what happens. Everybody's trying to figure this out. Prop 205, you guys have to do your own research and form your own opinions and read it. Read the whole initiative like that gentleman did. He said he finally read the whole text, and there's a lot in there that really favors dispensaries, dispensary owners, and people with a whole lot of money. It's not like starting a shoe business, we always say. Come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. And check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. I was just looking at the events page. But if you go to the certification center, which is where most people have their questions, this is how to get a medical marijuana card. So all you really have to do, and like I said, we'll be discussing this in Bisbee. That's going to be a fun event. I haven't been to Bisbee, so... where's the ooh, but we could do some magic for this. I don't know. So I'm very excited. I have a feeling that once I get there, it's going to be just a super fun place to be. But I'm going to be talking about how to get your medical cannabis card and handing out some flyers. We'll have some records release forms for people that want to get their records that don't have them. We'll have a sign-in sheet so you can give us your email, and we'll get you updated with the latest news and information. And we'll get you started on your pathway to healing here. So, state of Arizona says, if you have one of these conditions, PTSD, cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, ALS, Crohn's disease, agitation of Alzheimer's disease, which can include a whole range of conditions. There's a whole lot that goes along with Alzheimer's, so look that one up too. So here's a mouthful. And here it is. A chronic or debilitating disease or medical condition, or the treatment for a chronic or debilitating disease or a medical condition that causes, and I don't know how you say that, cachexia or wasting syndrome, severe and chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, including those characteristic of epilepsy, severe or persistent muscle spasms, including those characteristics of multiple sclerosis. So it's only $270. $270 if you're a first-time patient. If you're computer savvy, you can save $35 and take all your paperwork home and sit down on your own little computer or smart thing and send the documents to the state yourself. And if you're on food stamps, that's SNAP, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. Booyah! If you're on SNAP, your card, and if it's current, your card has to have your name embossed, imprinted on it, just like a credit card. If it doesn't, it can't just be your signature on the back, because we get a lot of people go, yeah, it's signed right here. Oh, that's great that you signed it, because now we're going to match that against your ID and make sure it's really you. But if you don't have that, you can use the award letter that you get that they update you with, and it must have your name on it and the current date. And you can bring that in and save another $75. So there you go. You could have a brand new certification for as little as $160. Oh my, that is inexpensive. Now, if you don't have current medical records, just, I don't care if you have a big old stack and if you need a red wider wagon to bring it in, just bring it in. Bring all your records in. Old, expired, we don't care. They help. They're supporting documents. They're good to look at. We can offer you an evaluation, and it's only an additional $50. And we can help diagnose your condition and establish a history for you. So there you go. And if you coming from another doctor who so awesomely signed your paperwork for you, then we can do your processing for you for the $35. Otherwise, you can just go online to azdhs.gov. And they've got a little instant messenger. You can chat with the state. They've got a whole FAQ on medical marijuana. So they explain a step-by-step process on how to submit all that information yourself. Now, if you want to, we have a records release form online as well. Click the button there, and it will take you to a form that you can print out, sign, and either fax, if you have a fax, or email to your doctor, or you can have us do it. We'll do it for you. And then right below that, there's a button that says check the status of your card. So you click that, and it takes you to the Arizona Department of Health Services Medical Marijuana Application Status link. So when you get your receipt, after you come and see one of our amazing doctors, you will get this gargantuan number. It starts with AZQP for Arizona Qualified Patient, and it's got a million numbers after that, and you put that whole thing in here, and then you can find out the status of your card. And it's pretty, pretty simple. So with that, we go to this.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
Absolutely. So you can come down to our new beautiful big location at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. It's really awesome. It's really great. We have a beautiful new TV room. It's very cozy. The only thing missing in there is a fireplace. And a nice, beautiful big waiting room. And we've got a little wonderful little accessory space as well. And it's just super cozy. Come on down and check it out. Yes. Tumbleweeds Health Center. So you can call in here anytime you want, 646-915-8421. You can call Tumbleweeds, 520-838-4430. You can email if you're into email, because most people like to do that anyway, at thctucson@gmail.com. All right, so we were thumbing through the Facebook page the other day, Cannabis Kid and I. I said, show me how to use this thing, because you post the coolest articles and I get on Facebook and I'm like, what the heck? I don't know how to use this. So let's see. There is, this is from Cannabis Now magazine. Let's see if I can, there's a product called T-Check. And it looks really, really great. It's Home Cannabis Oil Potency Tester. And this is really cool. So it looks like it says, also, why T-Check? When you make an edible, do you know how strong it is? Do you truly know how strong it is? And that's a really good question, because, you know, we get a lot of first-time users, and we give them recipes on how to make butter and do things themselves, you know, for themselves a lot, because they enjoy that kind of, you know, home baking and things like that, cooking. And just being with your cannabis. But it's hard to know how much cannabis you're getting in your medicine. And it's a very important question, because you don't go to the pharmacy and they're like, oh, here's some Tylenol, I'm not really sure. kind of like 200 to 500 milligrams. So, you know, maybe just take a half of one, but not scored, so I don't know if, you know, that can, you can't do that with Tylenol. That's just ridiculous. You can't go to the pharmacy and guess how much your Excedrin is. You want that big old dose. You can guesstimate it based on tasting. You can guesstimate it based on percentage in the plant variety. You can spend $80 and waste 3 days for a lab test. Or you can measure the strength of your infused oils at home using T-Check and get the results in under a minute. T-Check is a purpose-built spectrometer that measures the potency of herbal infusions. Base solvents may be olive oil, coconut oil, lanolin, butter, other oils, alcohol, vegetable glycerin. Two drops, three taps, and 60 seconds later, you know exactly how strong your infusion is. Measure your infusions. That's really awesome. You know what? We're going to see if we can't get these folks on the radio show, because that's just super great. What a neat product. We have, you know, some sad stories of people come in and they talk about their first time edible experiences. I still know people that they will not, absolutely will not, eat edibles ever again because of what happened. And I've heard so many stories where people have gone in and they've eaten entire candy bars as a first-time user. And imagine what that would do to somebody if, you know, someone said, you know, yeah, just, you know, go home and take a bite or two, or just take half the candy bar. You know, first-time users, yeah, total boo. Because that's really, you know, harmful for people. It's scary for people. Harmful in the way of it might make them sleep too much. They might not want that. Sometimes people get nauseous or even too spacey, sometimes paranoid when they take too much cannabis for the first time. And we're talking like first-time 90-year-olds eating an entire candy bar going, oh, my God. I had a friend recently tell me that, you know, and they're, I don't know, 50 or so. They did the same thing. They went to a dispensary and they had one bad experience with the candy bar. It was a candy bar, and she ate the whole thing. They didn't tell her any otherwise. They didn't tell her otherwise. And she will never, ever, ever try cannabis again. And those are the kinds of experiences. That would be like if you know, the doctor gave you morphine and he said, you know, take one, call me in the morning, or whatever it was, whatever the dose was. And what do? You take like three. That's just not a good thing. You have to know your dosage. And these people, you know, I like to call them patient advocates at the dispensaries. Hopefully people that are selling the cannabis know the cannabis and know when a first-time patient, whether they're 20 or 80 or 40, comes in and says, hey, you know, this is my first time, and I've got anxiety, and the kid behind the counter is like, oh, here, eat half this candy bar, and you're good, and then they freak out. That's not good. But you know, it is good.
Puff, 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 puff. I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Walk into my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? DeVille cruise in to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, oh, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking
know about the science of marijuana. What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealthy? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old. So it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right, welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. Oh, it's a cozy Wednesday morning, sitting on the couch with a cup of tea and a bong and all you awesome folks. Oh, Weed Day Wednesday. What a wonderful day. I was just thumbing through all sorts of stuff here on the internet. That's where we get a lot of our news. And other than our awesome guests that have come on, I know Doug Fine's coming on pretty soon. Hopefully he'll be sitting on our couches here hanging out. We love when Dougie Fine comes over here. Regina Nelson's coming on. Talk about education. This lady is smart. And we're going to get her on and pick her brains about what folks out there call the science of cannabis. Like, she can tell you why physiologically there's, and if you're listening, hi, Regina, she's probably going, oh, let me tell him now. There's some sort of neurological or, I don't know, there's a physiological reason why you cannot possibly die from cannabis overdose. It's virtually impossible. Safe, non-toxic plant, folks, which is why up until 1941, it was in our U.S. pharmacopoeia and in our medicine cabinets. It's amazing, just amazing. So I found, check this out, the U.S. attorney, I know this is a few days old, but the U.S. attorney general admits that marijuana is not a gateway drug. Check it out. One of the most popular arguments against the legalization of marijuana is that pot is, quote, a gateway drug, with the potential to turn the great American populace into a nation of dope fiends. But today, the country's leading law enforcement official denounced this common misconception by admitting that the consumption of marijuana does not lead to the use of harder drugs. Woo! Let's just say that again. The consumption of marijuana does not lead to the use of harder drugs. As part of what President Obama has declared National Prescription Opioid and Heroin Epidemic Awareness Week, whoa, that's a mouthful, U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch appeared at a town hall meeting this morning in Richmond, Kentucky, to discuss the dangers of opioid abuse with a group of teens. Oh, there you go. That's smart. See, you know, I would really like to go back to school nowadays and sit in on a class and find out what exactly they're teaching kids. So in her opening statement, Lynch was adamant that the leading culprit behind Kentucky's heroin epidemic was the use of prescription drugs. When you look at someone that, for example, has a heroin problem, it's often started with a prescription drug problem, something totally legal, something in every medicine cabinet. Something you can have prescribed to you in good faith by a doctor, Lynch said before taking questions from the audience. So it did not take long before the discussion turned to the issue of marijuana. Tyler Crafton, a student at Madison Central High School, took the opportunity to ask Lynch whether she thought the recreational use of marijuana among high school kids would lead to opioid abuse. Shockingly, Lynch, the top dog at the U.S. Department of Justice, did provide the young man with a response straight out of the federal government's propaganda handbook. There's a lot of discussion about marijuana these days. Some states are making it legal. People are looking into medical use for it. And I understand that it is still as common as almost anything, Lynch replied. When we talk about heroin addiction, we unusually, as we have mentioned, are talking about individuals that started out with a prescription drug problem. And then, because they need more and more, they turn to heroin. It isn't so much that marijuana is a step right before using prescription drugs or opioids. For a moment, it sounded as though Attorney General was preparing to backtrack on her statement to some degree, adding that if you tend to experiment with a lot of things, if you tend to experiment with a lot of things in life, you may be more inclined to experiment with drugs. There is a typo there, sorry. But then Lynch followed up with what should be considered one of the most important statements a federal official has made in 2016. It's not as though we are seeing that marijuana is a specific gateway, she said. The Attorney General's admission that marijuana is not a gateway drug is fairly consistent with the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA, which finds the majority of people who use marijuana do not go on to use other harder substances, yet many of marijuana's opposing forces are going up against ballot measures in several states this election season by trying to convince the general public that legal weed will cause the opioid epidemic to spin further out of control. Interestingly, an investigational report published earlier this week by the Associated Press and the Center for Public Integrity found that lobbyists for the drug makers responsible for the same prescription drugs that Attorney General Lynch says is responsible for the opioid epidemic have spent $880 million legally bribing state representatives and senators to vote against legislation concerning the restriction of opioid use. It stands to reason that these lobbyists are also responsible for getting federal lawmakers to turn a blind eye to marijuana. Attorney General Lynch will be speaking at more than 250 events this week in support of Prescription Opioid and Heroin Epidemic Awareness Week. It will be interesting to see if she offers additional comments about the safety of marijuana. And what we have found is that there's been 25% less death rate amongst opioid users since marijuana cannabis has become legal, because many, many, many people come to Tumbleweed Cell Center and they find, you know, they're on a lot of prescription drugs and medications, and they don't want to be. It's hurting their livers, it's hurting their kidneys, it's hurting their stomachs, they can't sleep, it's hurting their minds. They're not thinking right, or they can't think, or they think too much, or whatever. You know, these drugs have horrible, horrible, horrible side effects, some that are deadly. You know, we watch commercials all the time, and the one that gets me the most, other than, you know, may cause death, is may cause internal bleeding. Like, well, that pretty much leads to death in a lot of cases. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's crazy, but this statement is really, really big for the community, and it's just the truth that's been, you know, hidden out there. And when stuff like this comes out, it makes everybody happy. Because sadly, thank you, chat, having some tea here. Sadly, you know, most people don't think for themselves, and they will just turn on the news and believe every commercial that comes on. It, oh, I have this, it looks like I have that, I need that pill, looks like they have that, I need that pill, and then this pill is going to cause something that, you know, is going to cause something in that pill, and blah, 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 blah. So just be careful with what you're putting into your bodies, really. It's really about education and about being aware of what goes in your body. We are on the weed blog. I like the weed blog, and I thought maybe let's look for something a little different here. It says market for hemp food to increase over 20% by 2020. That's awesome. And hopefully we'll be growing by 2020. Hopefully we'll be growing all that ourselves. The fact that we have to import all this and waste money on all that when we can just do it ourselves so easily and organically and quickly and environmentally consciously, it would just be a better thing, people. Come on. Okay, Research and Markets has announced a new report titled Global Hemp-Based Foods Market 2016 to 2020, which estimates the growth rate of hemp foods market over the next several years. Scientists believe the humans have been cultivating hemp for over 10,000 years, growing to its nutritional, medicinal, and industrial properties, begins the report, as a crop hemp is known to be one of humanity's first domesticated crops. Over the years, hemp-based foods have emerged as superfoods in the health and wellness food category in North American and European markets. The analysts forecast the global hemp-based food markets to grow at a CAGR compound annual growth rate of 20.3% during the period of 2016 to 2020. The report was prepared based on an in-depth market analysis with inputs from industry experts and covers the market landscape and its growth prospects over the coming years. It also includes a discussion of the key vendors operating in the market, which are, the key vendors are Hempco, Manitoba Harvest, Metrum Originals, Naturally Splendid, and then it says other prominent vendors are Bram & Murray, Canada Hemp Foods, Elixinol, Healthy Brands Collective, Hemp Foods Australia, Laguna Blends, Nutiva, and the Cool Hemp Company. That's a good one. According to the report, the biggest driver for the hemp market is its emergence as a superfood. The biggest challenge is stringent government regulations regarding cultivation and human consumption of hemp. Well, that's good, though. That's a good forecast, because if you business people are listening out there, you farmers are out there, it's happening. Hemp is, like they said, it's one of the earliest cultivated crops, and it's been around for tens of thousands of years, and people have been wearing it, eating it, riding on it, driving it, using it for fuel, for oil, for fuel for our bodies, fuel for the earth, fuel for our vehicles. And Mr. Doug Fine, who's so awesome, will come tell us all about hemp when he comes here someday soon, hopefully. So, yeah, you should do a little research on hemp, and there are just hundreds and hundreds of uses for it. Our first pair of Levi's was made with hemp. Our first flag Betsy Ross made was from hemp. The Constitution was written on hemp. I mean, it's just been around for so long, and it's just so handy. So check this out. A new poll finds majority of Nevada voters support legalizing cannabis. All right. New polling shows that a majority of voters in Nevada are in favor legalizing cannabis. The poll's release comes less than 50 days before voters will get their say on question two, to legalize recreational cannabis for everyone 21 and over. According to the new KTNT TV 13 Action News, Rasmussen Reports poll, 53% of voters in Nevada support legalizing cannabis and just 39% oppose the move, with 8% undecided. The results mark a modest but steady increase from a KTNV TV 13 Action News report released in July, which found support for legalization to be at 50%, with opposition at 41% and undecided at 9%. We will be spending the next 7 weeks educating all Nevadans about the benefits of regulating marijuana, says Joe Brenzi, a spokesperson for the Yes on Question 2 campaign. We have no doubt that once we do, a solid majority of Nevada voters will choose to regulate marijuana so that we can take the market away from criminal actors. Interesting term, criminal actors. If Question 2 is passed into law, it will be legal for those 21 and older to possess up to an ounce of cannabis. They'll also be allowed to cultivate 6 plants, and cannabis retail outlets will be authorized to distribute the plant. And you can go to the Weed Blog and read the full story there. And that's awesome. Please, 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 folks, read. Go find out. There's a link here. It actually has, you can click on question two, and you can find out what exactly is the full initiative, what it really, really says. Because that's what we want you to do with Prop 205, make your decision. Do we want everyone to be able to use cannabis? You betcha. Without doubt, without fail, we want this entire planet to be using cannabis. But we want them using it safely and without fear and prosecution and criminalization and felonies and fines and jail time. And we want an honest initiative. We want honest cannabis, so bring it. Travel gurus Rick Steves, touring Massachusetts in support of legalization, is donating $100,000. Rick Steves, host of the popular long-running PBS series Rick Steves Europe, has agreed to make a matching donation of $100,000 to the campaign behind Massachusetts Question 4, which would legalize cannabis and is up for a vote this November. Steves will also be touring the state in support of Question 4. Steves, who is also a popular author, and known philanthropist, was a key supporter of Washington's Initiative 502, which was approved by voters in 2012. Back then, he toured the state in support of the initiative and made financial contributions, as he plans to do in Massachusetts. He also touted legalization during initiative campaigns in Colorado and Oregon. There are so many reasons to end the prohibition of marijuana, he says. Whether you're concerned about the well-being of children, fairness for our minority communities, redirecting money away from criminals and into our state's coffers, stemming the horrific bloodshed in Mexico, or civil liberties, it's clearly time for a new approach. Wow. And they gives you, it says below the schedule events where Steve's will be attending next month. And you can go to, if you are in Cape Cod Lounge area, it's time for a conversation. Rick Steves on why legalization is good citizenship. I love it. That's October 11th. October 12th, cannabis conversation. Rick Steves on legalization and the concerns of families. And that's an event with Women Grow and Moms for Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana. And October 13th, Rick Steves at the ACLU, why voters should support question 4. Well, there you go. And this is great when popular figures from television and the media come out in support of this because, like I said before, people tend to just believe whatever's on TV. So go ahead. Believe it about cannabis. It's true. It's good for you. Cannabis is good for you. Yay. So, and Rick Steves is awesome. What an educated man. Everybody should, well, who doesn't want to go to Europe? But just, that'd be great. If you're in that area, go to one of the classes and check it out. Check this out. Here's something fun. So we always encourage people to make their own food. And who doesn't like guacamole? So here's a little bit on how to make ganja guacamole. Here's a quick recipe. Oh, that looks delicious. Okay. The possibilities for cooking and baking with cannabis are endless, but how about a fresh treat that's cannabis-infused and healthy? This ganja guacamole from Herb is sure to please. So here are your ingredients. You need 4 avocados, peeled, skinned, and the pits removed. 1 pit reserved. Save one. You need a cucumber, peeled, skinned, and seeds removed, and dice it. You need 1/2 chopped green onions, white and green parts. You need 2 cloves, garlic, mint. You need 1/2 cup THC oil. You need a jalapeno pepper, and you need 1 cup firmly packed cilantro. Chop that. I would not put that in because that tastes like soap to me. You can use the juice from 2 limes and a teaspoon of salt. So you combine all the ingredients in a blender or a food processor and blend it until the mixture is nice and smooth. Add the blended guac to a serving bowl, refrigerate any leftovers, airtight container, and it's best used within a day. Because oils do go bad, and you don't want that to happen to your cannabis oil. It's way too expensive. So make yourself a tiny little dish and enjoy with some friends. Awesome. All right, so check it out. Come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. I've even been blogging. Hi, bloggers out there. How is the world? But come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. I almost go back to the old address. It's just habit of 4 years. 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. We are right up front. We're right there on the frontage road. You can see us. There's signs all over and plenty of parking, plenty of parking. It's a little tricky to get to just because it's on that little frontage road. But once you figure it out, it's easy peasy. Come see us. Come get certified. Certifications are just $270, like we discussed before. If you're on food stamps, that goes down to $195. And if you're good on the computer, that goes down to $160. Research are $250. We do give you a break at Tumbleweeds Health Center. We knock $20 off your bill just because we think it's a fair thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And the state fee is $150. Now, that has to be paid with a Visa or a MasterCard. If you don't have one, don't worry. We have one you can use. There's a small fee for that, but you can use. Some people just don't like to carry credit cards around. We totally get that. We have a processing fee of $35, but like we said, if you're computer savvy, you just go on ahead and take that paperwork home. You take a little selfie of yourself, which everybody pretty much does daily anyway these days, and submit your paperwork. 4 simple little documents. Just make you fill everything out right. They want your name, your address, your phone number, where you want your card mailed. And they do mail you your card. No, you cannot take paperwork that you get at any certification center and take it to a dispensary. The dispensaries by law have to scan. They swipe the, you get a little green card in the mail, has your picture on it with your ID number. Now, what we tell people is as soon as you get that card in the mail, take out your phone, or if you're not into phones, get a real camera and take a picture of that card. Absolutely take a picture of that card. Because if it gets lost or stolen, the only way to get a copy of that or a replacement is to have the number that's on the card, and then you think when it's gone, oh, I need the number, but it's on the card. But wait. Tumbleweed Retail Center told me to take a picture, and I did. Woohoo! So there you have it. There's the harp. Take a picture. It saves everybody. Because if you have to call the state, I'm sorry, state of Arizona, you're not the best at responding for the medical marijuana program. However, like I said, if you go to azdhs.gov, they have on their website, let's just do it together now, they got on their website, it's really great. Tea is great, too. They've got an instant message link, azdhs.gov/medical marijuana. Even easier, azdhs.gov/medical marijuana. And if you scroll down during business hours, I wonder if we should just do it right now. There's live support. They're online. It looks like a little green eyeball. It's kind of strange. It looks kind of alien. But you can go on and you can ask them any question you want. Maybe someday we'll do that. We'll sneak on and ask them some on-air live questions to the Department of Health Services. And really, check out, you can go on there. We had a week or two ago, we had the Hans report on. And Hans is a patient advocate extraordinaire. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Clap for Hans, because this guy is going to hopefully get everybody their growing rights, regardless of what passes or not. And the rights to have your cannabis that you grow, whatever you grow. I mean, the laws are crazy right now, but what I was about to tell y'all was to go there. Go to your qualifying patients, and there you can go and read. There's frequently asked questions by patients. It says, when can I apply for a patient card? Do I need to, can I do it online? Do I have to walk in? And the only way you can apply for it online is if your doctor will already sign your paperwork. So if you have a really cool doctor who is an MD, a naturopathic doctor, a DO or HO, they can fill out that state paperwork. And chances are they're not going to get in trouble if they're just, they just need to fill it out right, because oftentimes we get patients that come in and they have paperwork that their doctor has filled out, yay, but it's incomplete. And it's, you know, we had a patient drive 3 hours just to have us process their paperwork. And I wish the gentleman had found a way to show us first, because it most likely would go through to the state, but they've been really picky lately about really defining your conditions and your ailments. And sometimes they have questions and they want further documentation, and I just hate this gentleman drive another 6 hours to get this fixed. So if you guys have questions, just give us a call, 520-838-4430. We'll answer your questions. If you just really don't want the hassle of doing it and you'd rather have someone else do it, let us do it. Come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard, for $35. We'll do it. And we'll make it easy for you. And one of their questions is that they can't afford it. And they talk about the fact that if you're on SNAP, formerly known as food stamps, the cost of the card is reduced from $150 to $75. Like we said before, if you're on SNAP, here's their answer. How do I prove I'm receiving benefits? It says, if qualifying patients wish to apply for the reduced fee card, they must submit with their application a copy of the eligibility notice or electronic benefits transfer card that shows that they are participating in the SNAP program with their application for a registry identification card. So there's basically two ways. The card has to have your name embossed on it, just like a credit card. It has to have it printed out there. feel it on the front. Or you can use the award letter. And then it says what they ask about what conditions. But here's a good question. What if my condition is not listed? And it says state law allows a person to request the addition of other conditions to be listed. To be added to the list of debilitating medical conditions. But what we often find is that, and this is really good information. I'm glad we're going over a little bit. I know it might be boring for some, but it's important if you feel like your condition isn't listed to go through the steps to try and get it listed. But however, people need to understand that. Which is why when I was going through the list and I said agitation of Alzheimer's disease, and there's a lot of different characteristics to that. Chronic pain covers a lot of things, fibromyalgia, migraines, the spasms cover restless leg syndrome, Parkinson's. So read between the lines here when they give you the description of what chronic or debilitating disease is. You can either be suffering from the treatment of that or from the condition itself. So if something you're being treated, if something that you're using is making you suffer, you can get your card for that as well. It says, So you have to go and read what it says, but ask. Just call and ask us, because there are a lot of things on the list. There are a lot of things that we certify for that aren't necessarily just right on that list. It says, how can I request the addition of a medical condition to the list? And then it says, here's a bit, in January and July of each calendar year, the department will accept written requests to add a medical condition to the list of the debilitating medical conditions. So that's twice a year. The requirements for completing a request include the name of the medical condition or the treatment of the medical condition the individual is requesting to be added, a description of the symptoms and how they make it hard to do daily living activities, the availability of conventional medical treatments to provide therapy or comfort for the condition, a summary of the evidence that marijuana will provide therapy or comfort for the medical condition, and articles published in peer-reviewed scientific journals reporting research on the effects of marijuana on the medical condition or the treatment of the medical condition supporting why the medical condition or the treatment of the medical condition should be added. Wow, that's a lot. But that's, you know, I mean, if you're suffering from something, you know, really badly, I'm sure you have answers to all of that. You have the name of the medical condition. You have the description of the symptoms and how it makes it hard to live life daily. You have, and what they want a summary of evidence that will provide therapy or comfort. And then they want some articles. So, and that's, you know, somewhere I bet Regina Nelson can help us with finding some articles on just those things. But as we come to the end of our show, which I can't believe, I just want to thank you all for being here and for listening to us each and every week. We love being here, even if it's just me, myself, and I. I enjoy learning right alongside and just being here with you guys. It's wonderful to be able to do this show, and we just really appreciate y'all being here. So come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, our new location at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard, right out front. We're going to be at Pride this weekend. We're going to be in Bisbee this weekend. We're going to be at the Southwest Cannabis Expo on the 14th, 15th, and 16th. We'll be down there at various points, I believe. And we're just going to be everywhere. So come down and see us. Tune into the show each week. Check out TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com. And remember, the most important thing is to be smart, be safe, and educate. Have an awesome day, you guys. Happy Wednesday.